I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, I think we've got a good show for you in store this evening, jam-packed with information as usual, and some ET stuff and some yoga stuff and some very practical information and some, I think, rather amazing information, which I try to come up with. If you're a regular listener of the show, you know that I try to throw something in there that I'm hoping that you've never heard before. But before we get into that, I would like to kick off things in the usual manner by doing some Japa yoga. It's a short meditation, the Hari Om mantra meditation. So if the guys will play that, it'd be great.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari.
Hari Hari Hari. Hari Hari Om, Hari 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 Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari
Hari Om,
Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om,
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 Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om,
Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari
Hari Hari Om,
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Hari.
Swami Satchidananda, a clip from back in the 1970s, and Swami Satchitananda was the founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. And I'd like at this time to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're new to ET Yoga, I would like to mention that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible, and I applaud your efforts to become self-sufficient in that area. And I'm sure you won't hear this in mainstream media, so here's a term that you might want to research. It's called iatrogenic death. It's called I-A-T-R-O-G-E-N-I-C, number one cause of death in America, iatrogenic death. And that's association with Big Pharma and the mainstream medical. Check it out yourselves. Now, moving on to some yoga. I'd like to get a little bit more deeper into the vichara. And the vichara, if you're not familiar with that term, is simplified by the Who Am I technique as taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And in this particular technique, I suggest starting off with, being in your most comfortable position, ideally probably seated, or sitting on the floor in a yoga posture, but comfortably in a chair is fine. The idea being to focus your full attention on your ajna center or your third eye and placing as much attention there as you possibly can, especially in the highest state you can reach. And sometimes that's achieved in a process that includes the yoga asanas first, and then pranayams or the yogic breathing, and then followed by doing meditation. And what you'll see is that there's an association between the thought processes and breathing. And when you control the breath, you control the thought processes. And when doing this particular technique, the idea being to give your full focused attention and place it in your ajna center, and be repeating the question, "Who am I?" And repeating it, I would say, 20 or 30 times even, and getting right into the vibration and the frequency of that thought. And if you're a listener of ET Yoga, you can appreciate the whole concept that what you're doing is you're creating a frequency match for the answer. And with this properly done, the idea then, after you've asked the question multiple times of who am I, is then to focus on the body and state that I am not my body, I am not my internal organs, I am not my thoughts, I am not this spot, what spot? And that's the process that, if done with total concentration, will take you through a doorway. And I first learned about this particular technique actually from Baba Ram Das, as he was lecturing in Vancouver, British Columbia, many, many years ago. And there was actually a newspaper called the Georgia Strait that ran this technique in their newspaper. And first time I tried it, it just blew my mind because it worked. And I hope it might work for you. And after that particular experience, I then came across the book called The Path of Self-Knowledge by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And apparently this technique, the vichara, was given to his most advanced disciples. And I'd like to now share with you some quotes given by Sri Ramani concerning this particular technique. And he states that for the subsidence of the mind, there is no other means more effective than self-inquiry, and that this is the direct method. All other methods are practical while retaining the ego, and they're practiced while retaining the ego. And self-inquiry leads directly to self-realization by removing the obstacles which make you think that the self is not already realized. Meditation requires an object to meditate on, whereas in self-inquiry, there is only the subject and no object. This is the difference between them. And when he was asked, why should self-inquiry alone be considered the direct path to realization? And he states that because every kind of path except self-inquiry presupposes the retention of the mind as the instrument for following it and cannot be followed without the mind. The ego may take different and more subtle forms at different stages of one's practice, but it is never destroyed. The attempt to destroy the ego or the mind by methods other than self-inquiry is like a thief turning policeman to catch the thief that is himself. Self-inquiry alone can reveal the truth that neither the ego nor the mind really exists and enables one to realize the pure, undifferentiated being of the self or the absolute. The first and foremost of all thoughts that arise in the mind is the primal I thought. It is only after the rise or origin of the I thought that innumerable other thoughts arise. In other words, only after the first personal pronoun I has arisen do the second and third personal pronouns you, he, she, etc. occur to the mind, and they cannot subsist without it. Since every other thought can occur only after the rise of the I thought, and since the mind is nothing but a bundle of thoughts, it is only through the inquiry, who am I, that the mind subsides. Moreover, the integral I thought implicit in such inquiry, having destroyed all other thoughts, itself finally gets destroyed or consumed, just as a stick used for stirring the burning funeral pyre gets consumed. And I found that for some people that a little deeper explanation of this particular technique can be useful in sort of at least getting an intellectual comprehension of what it's all about. And also interesting that after self-realization, and this is a quote from Sri Ramana Maharshi, he says that after realization, a man may continue a life of worldly activity, or he may not. It makes no difference to his state. So we cannot make any general rules about it. And I know a lot of people have always had this kind of a concept that the only way you could achieve self-realization was to be living in a cave and be totally isolated from society, but not so. According to what I consider one of the really true achievers of self-realization. And for those who have had the personal experience of a glimpse of those states of consciousness, I highly recommend his book, The Path of Self-Knowledge. That's by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And kind of moving on to a little bit of ET information from another one of my favorites with respect to information, and that's good old Bashar. And Bashar is at www.bashar.org. If you're new to his information, he's channeled by Daryl Anka, and I find his information to be highly accurate. And especially with respect to self-empowering concepts, and especially those surrounding beliefs. And to my way of thinking, in terms of a practical approach to daily life, There's nothing more important than beliefs. And we've talked many times on the program about how everything that you experience in life as an outer reflection, and it's an outer reflection of your beliefs, your definitions, your intentions, your emotions, and that you need to be a frequency match with respect to your beliefs for what you experience. And I think part of that whole process of going through your beliefs is starting to identify at some point as a mature person what sort of beliefs you downloaded from childhood. Very important process, because if you're finding things are repeating in your life, especially as you get older and you find certain situations keep popping up or arising, and you wonder why, it's because you have the same beliefs that created them. And sometimes we need to reprogram those beliefs. And one of the interesting concepts about beliefs, and according to Bashar, that all beliefs have a self-sustaining mechanism built into them. And he gives us some tips with respect to dealing with some of the tricks of negative beliefs. And number one on his list of tricks of negative beliefs is that they try to convince you that no other belief is real, and thus that keeps you from looking elsewhere. And I think this is a really good one, that I guess actually all beliefs kind of try to convince you that no other belief is real. And how would you identify a negative belief? Well, probably one that doesn't make you feel good, one that could be defined, let's say, objectively as being somehow attached to some concept of fear. I find that typically if you're looking to divide beliefs into categories, those that make you feel really good and those that are based in unconditional love are going to make you feel good. And emotions such as unconditional love, compassion, and gratitude would be very, very high in frequency. And negative beliefs provide us with negative synchronicities, and at one point or another, we think they're real, or that there's no other belief possible. The second trick of negative beliefs is to distract you from investigating your beliefs. So what they try to do is create for you outside distractions. You know, you start to analyze, let's say, your beliefs, but all of a sudden, oh, look over here and look at that, and so the negative belief tries to distract you because it really can't handle the light or the awareness or the investigation of your beliefs. Another trick is to convince you to feel comfortable with negativity, so that if you live with it long enough, you kind of settle into it. And as Bashar would say, you kind of wallow in this, or you give up. And, well, this is the way it is, and that's the way it's got to be, and there's just there's nothing else you can do about it. And another trick of negative beliefs is to convince you that you actually distort, and you can't really view positive information because you see it as negative. So it distorts the truth, and it won't let you comprehend as it distorts and filters the positive information. And any time that that information comes your way, your vibration is incompatible to it. And you actually then at that point come back to the fear where you're more comfortable. And I think that these kind of all fall into a category of kind of advanced self-empowering concepts to deal with negative beliefs. And one of the things that you can do to neutralize that is to remember that all situations are fundamentally neutral. And I think that's the key point here. And this is kind of taking one of Bashar's, what I call one of his big four, that all circumstances are don't come with built-in meanings. We place definitions on outside circumstances, which create some sort of then an emotional spin on them. And it's actually that emotional spin that eventually creates your experience of it. And another thing you can do is, if you find yourself experiencing fear, is to push through it. Because negative beliefs have to get you away from the fact that you are worthy. And the harder it gets, the stronger it feels negative, and it'll kind of like a big brass band playing louder, the more that you kind of get free of it, maybe the louder the noise it'll make. But if you stick in there and push through it, eventually you can free yourself of it. And another one of his neutralizers is that if you're stuck in a negative belief, just know that you're really not stuck. And I think those are kind of like good tips to kind of have in your toolbox, because a belief has to be self-perpetuating. And in self-reinforcing itself, and has to, by its very definition, with few exceptions, they exclude the possibility of any other belief in order for you to experience that belief totally. But here's another kind of a fundamental addition that you can use to deal with these, and that is to have the concepts that all beliefs are just beliefs, that all reality experiences are just the product of definition. Then you can experience whatever belief you want as fully as you can, and then in the next moment change it, just like that, because you know that that's all they are. So that's the key, to be flexible and have the underlying foundational definition that there is no reality except what you define it to be. And then you can perceive any reality to its fullest, and then in the next moment experience a totally different reality, because you will really know, and really know for a fact, that you're in the next moment a completely different you, and that means a completely different you, spelled Y-O-U, universe. Totally, completely, absolutely, every change, no matter how you may define it, and no matter how small it might seem, every change is a total change. So if you have an equation, A plus B equals C, if you change any one of those variables, does not that make the entire equation change? And of course, yes, it does. So change any component whatsoever, then the entire equation is different. The entire reality is different. And one of the ways that Bashar gives us an illustration of understanding that that any change is a total change is to think of a blue cube with six sides, and then you change one of the sides to red. So the question being is it the same cube with one side red, or is it a totally different cube? And the idea here being to try to get into the concept that it's a totally different cube. And another interesting concept is that all negative beliefs are based in fear. And according to Bashar, fear is your natural true vibration filtered through a belief system that is out of tune with your true core self. And excitement is your natural vibration filtered through a belief system that is in alignment with your natural true core self. So fear and excitement are the same energy, but you experience them differently because of what you filter them through. And although, according to Bashar, you have on your planet the occupation referred to as piano tuners, when you're playing your piano instrument and you find the sound of the music pleasing, and then all of a sudden you come across what you call a sour note, do you run away and hide in the closet? Oh, I'll never touch that piano again. No, you say, I require the tuner to tune the piano so that the note becomes harmonious with all the other notes. So each key is like unto a definition or a belief. And when you come across one that gives you the sensation of fear, all that's telling you is, hey, pay attention. You have a belief in this area of your song that is out of alignment with the rest of the piano. So fine-tune it. Bring it back into harmony. Don't run away. And what would I have to do to tune this? How would I have to redefine it? How would I have to tighten the string in order to bring it back into tune or into alignment? So you play with it until finally it's back. You explore what that definition is that allows you to feel your very own energy in the mode called fear. Because also the paradox is, and paradox is a very powerful tool, that when you make a friend of your fear and say, joy, another fear. When you know your fear is there to tell you something you want to know, you will look at it in a new and miraculous way. And instantly, your fear will vanish because you will have transformed it into, first, curiosity. What could this mean? And then joy by being willing to explore what it means for you. That's how you use fear. And fear stands for F, false, E, evidence, A, appearing, R, real. False evidence, appearing real. It's just a knock at the door. Pay attention to this. This is something you want to know about yourself. This is something you need to know to integrate within yourself to become more of who you are. And wouldn't that be fun? So pay attention to the fear. Don't ignore it. Feel it. By all means, feel it as truly as you can, and then dive into the unknown. Dive into the fear. Let it wash through you. Feel all the sensations that go along with it, and then let your fear ignite you and ignite in you your burning curiosity. What could this possibly mean? What definition would I have to believe in order to experience my own energy in this way? What could it be, I wonder? Then explore and find out what you believe. Find out what kind of definition you have about reality and rewrite them, reinvent them, redefine them, be creative, and use your imagination. That's what it's for. Once you do that, Bashar says, I guarantee. And not only do I guarantee, but the infinite has guaranteed you will get the result of the change that you make as long as you make it on all levels. Thought, word, deed, belief, emotion, action. Complete the circuit. Believe in your beliefs as you always have, and reality in the universe and the infinite will always support you as it always has. But it can only support you to the degree and in the direction you believe is the most true for you. But it's up to you to believe what that truth is, because the secret is all truths are true. That's the nature of the infinite. Otherwise, it wouldn't be the infinite, now would it? All truths are true. All are equal and valid. Choose which is you and live that truth until you change your mind about what it is now in the next moment, every moment, no matter what form it comes in. Follow it, act on it to the best of your ability, because that's who you are. And even though it may not come to fruition in the way you think, even though it may not live up to your expectations, know it, because it will put you where you need to be, because excitement is the thread you need to follow. not how things look on the surface, because the surface is an illusion. It's the feeling, it's the knowing that counts. Follow it, because that's who and what you are, and that's really all there is to it. So a nice bit of information from Bashar. And I'd now like to move on to a concept that actually I think started with Barbara Marciniak book, Self-Empowerment, and her concept, or not actually her concept, but her channeling of Pleiadians. And I want to share with you a quote from them concerning the whole idea about health. And it goes like this. I am a vital, healthy being. I accept the responsibility and commitment that changing my life will involve. I'm ready to embrace a new way of looking at life. I'm excited about learning the many methods and techniques that will empower me to operate my physical body and to experience vital health in every moment. I'm getting in better, and I'm getting healthier from day to day, year by year, decade by decade, millennium by millennium, throughout all the avenues of time. I understand that my now expands into every now, and I seek to know much more about the physical and non-physical aspects of life. I understand my ultimate responsibility is in managing the forces of cosmic energy that pass through me, as well as everything on the planet, and that my first responsibility, and I repeat, my first responsibility and duty are to love and take care of my physical form. And what I'm hoping to inspire in possibly some people that haven't paid attention to Bashar's basic foundations of health, which not only deal with pure water, but good oxygen, maybe doing some breathing exercises, pranayams, yoga pranayams, dealing with stress, reducing the idea of stress, getting proper exercise, doing detoxification, and what he calls lightening up the diet, which really means getting off meats. And from the Syrian High Council, they've recently posted a message at one of Pat Corey's, and if you don't know about Patricia Corey, you should check her out with the Syrian Seal, a very powerful tool, and she's written some great books. And my favorite is No More Secrets, No More Lies. And from the Syrian High Council, as channeled by Pat Corey, they have some information that they believe you need to know. And that is that the meat supply is becoming even more infected, and the spreading of mad cow syndrome has moved out of restricted areas and across the borders. It's spreading from species to species, from cows to sheep and pigs. And what is not infected carries growth hormones, enormous quantities of antibiotics, and adrenal overloads, being fed with genetically modified food, also treated with toxic pesticides. And these you are absorbing into your bodies every time you cut into a juicy steak or bite into the greasy, flavor-enhanced hamburger. And they say, think about it. North America leads the world in the cultivation and wide-scale distribution of genetically modified foods, much of which you are unaware that you are ingesting, for the industry clearly does not wish to stimulate your curiosity or product resistance. Therefore, beware. Those who have switched from dairy and meat to soy-based alternatives should also know that over 50% of the commercially sold soy products have been genetically modified or chemically treated, so you're wise to buy only those which are clearly labeled organically grown. Corn, canola, dairy, and potatoes and their commercial end products are the most likely foods to have been genetically modified. An awareness of this problem is slowly appearing in the media, but so much is hidden from you, you'll have to give more attention to the matter, becoming far more discerning in your approach to food preparation and consumption. And they go on to say that irradiated food is proliferating in the supermarkets, particularly in the produce sectors. Trust that you do not want to bring radiation into the digestive tract and that such foods do not enhance human health. Have you considered cultivating an organic garden? There you will bring to your being the nature of the food. It's live elements rather than life prolonged by radiation. And they state, why must you be concerned? Because the meat supply is dying, plain and simple. You hear daily warnings about the tremendous diseases appearing in cows, sheep, pigs, and let us not forget the disease carried in poultry, the use of rotting duck meat considered for the gourmets amongst you. And aside from the metaphysical aspect of meat in your diets, there is an ever-increasing risk associated with ingesting meat. See if you can let it go. See if you can let yourselves release from the darkness of dead animal flesh once and forever. They also state that genetically modified foods can cause damage to the organs, and most significantly, they destroy the immune system. And what I would encourage everybody to do would be to do some research on GMO foods, because I'm finding there's just so many people out there that just are so totally unaware of how harmful they are. And most of the doctors that I have researched basically state that genetically modified foods, instantly and immediately when they enter your body, they start destroying your intestinal system. And according to the Syrians, they destroy the immune system. Genetically modified foods can cause damage to the organs as well. And according to the Syrians, the governments do not have your best interests at heart. The production and the political bodies, they serve their generous industrial lobbyists by acting and enacting legislation that protects these corporate entities that would poison you in the name of profit. Therefore, do not be complacent, awaiting the official word from your governments. Do not be lulled into a feeling you are being cared for as a people. The legislation that best serves you is that in which you as individuals and families and communities which you enact. And they also state that children are particularly vulnerable due to their consumption of dairy and the often excessive consumption of processed foods, many of which are corn or potato-based. Processed cereals should be reduced substantially, if not eliminated, and chips and such snack foods are the most are the worst offenders. So they basically ask the question, do you care enough about the health of your loved ones to remove these poisons from their clutches? And you see the drastic increase of allergic children and adults. Know that genetic manipulation increases dramatically the risk that the plant will develop toxic or allergy-causing elements. And according to most of the research I've seen, a dead giveaway that you're eating GMO food are these allergies. And one objective of genetic manipulation is to cause the plant to emit its own very high levels of pesticide with the idea to create an improved form of pest control in agriculture. Know that the levels of toxins being emitted are far beyond those that occur with spraying, and that these are far more damaging to the being, and they can cause birth defects and lead to numerous malfunctions of the physical body. Another objective is to create genetically altered drug-producing foods. These are referred to as functional foods, and these are absolutely counterproductive to the health of the human organism, but of great potential to the pharmaceutical industry's profit margin. And genetic manipulation is devastating to the environment as well, and they are altering not only the corn and soy, but the entire ecosystem. The flora of the earth knows no boundaries, and the genetically altered crops are crossing over into the others. So if you're not aware of that kind of information, think possibly you should be. And I'd also like to remind people of Manithya Sidevi and her 10 steps to free yourself from lots of problems. And I'm going to just quickly go through her list of 10 ideas. Number one, do not consume any fluoride ever. Two, do not consume any aspartame ever. Three, avoid eating genetically modified, non-organic, and highly processed foods. Four, avoid watching television. Five, question your education. Six, reevaluate the validity of popular opinion. Seven, look within yourself to discover who you are. Eight, keep a regular spiritual routine. Nine, drop all the judgments you have against those who are not ready to make the same changes you're making. And 10, let enlightenment be your number one priority. Personally, I think that's a pretty nice list. And recently, we've had a number of shows on ET Yoga concerning frequencies and how to raise your frequency. I mean, to my way of thinking, the most immediate way to raise your frequency is do the Palladian Pillar of Light. So when you're bringing down that Pillar of Light from Source down through your 12 chakra system and doing the Pillar of Light technique, it immediately raises your frequency because basically it's increasing your light quotient. And we have some other really good friends kind of helping us along, too, that aren't even human. And that's with respect to essential oils and also crystals, in particular the Andara crystal. And I should also mention Moldavite. According to Dr. Robert O'Becker, in his book, The Body Electric, he states that the human body has an electrical frequency and that much about a person's health can be determined by the frequency. And this frequency is measurable, and this energy flow is constant. And any kind of flow between two points has a frequency. And he also mentions that Dr. Royal Rife found that every disease has a frequency. And I might note that Royal Rife's on record as having dealt with, I believe it was 800 cancer patients, and he cured 800 people. And he found that certain frequencies can prevent the development of disease and that others would destroy diseases. Substances of higher frequency will destroy diseases. And in 1992... Bruce Taino, he built the first frequency monitor in the world, and he determined that the average frequency of a healthy human body during the daytime is 62 to 68 hertz. And when the frequency drops, the immune system is compromised. So if the frequency drops to 58 hertz, colds and flu symptoms appear. And at 55 hertz, diseases like Candida take hold. And at 52 hertz, Epstein-Barr, and at 42 hertz, cancer. And the study of frequencies raises the important question concerning the frequency of substances we eat, breathe, and absorb. And many pollutants have low frequencies and cause the body's healthy frequencies to be lowered and weakened. Processed or canned food has a frequency of zero, and they tend to lower the healthy frequencies. And when the body, these lower frequencies make the body tend toward degenerative diseases. Now, fresh produce, interestingly, they found, has up to 15 hertz, dry herbs from 12 to 22 hertz. And this is the amazing one right here that I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but I'll bet most of our listeners have never heard this. Essential oil frequencies start at 52 hertz, 52, and go as high as 320, which is the frequency of rose oil. And these higher frequencies create an environment in which disease, bacteria, virus, fungus, cancer, etc. cannot live. And I think that's just absolutely amazing when I heard that about the rose oil. In fact, I was told that it's the highest frequency of any known substance. And interestingly enough, breast cancer cells are mostly destroyed by cinnamon, thyme, chamomile, and jasmine oil, and also chamomile, killing up to 95% of cancer cells, and even more effective was thyme oil, which led to a 97% kill rate of the MCF7 breast cancer cells. And they also noted that frankincense could revolutionize the treatment of cancer, and it separates the brain of the cancerous cell, the nucleus, from the body, the cytoplasm, and closes down the nucleus to stop it reproducing corrupted DNA codes. So not only are these essential oils high in frequency, but they also eliminate some interesting problems. And I've managed to get some more information on some of the specifics of these frequencies. The rose oil is at 320 hertz, lavender at 118, myrrh at 105, blue chamomile 105, juniper 98, the aloes 96, angelica 85, peppermint 78, and basil 52. And here's an amazing study that was done. In a clinical study, 210 colonies of a powerful bacteria were placed in a room. Drugs could not kill all the bacteria. An essential oil was diffused into another room with 210 colonies of the same bacteria, and all the bacteria were killed in a matter of seconds. So to me, that's just absolutely amazing. And connected in this light, in my opinion, would also be these Andara crystals, because they're the name to identify Prima Matra crystals. And this find in California was originally seeded for Prima Matra by those we call the Time Walkers, in conjunction with the High Devas, mythologically depicted as unicorns. And these Andara crystals were formed inside a no-time hyperfield, creating within them a kinesthetic continuum. And this is a continuum that allows a moving time field within the elemental and structural composition of the crystal formation. And thus, utilizing the Andara crystals, one may interact with also what they call Athena's net. And this net moves matter beyond the time barriers. And access to Athena's net allows soul matter units to integrate with future forms of spirit matter. And these Andara crystals, in my opinion, are absolutely amazing. I've now had one for several weeks, and I'm sure that everybody has their own effect with these Andara crystals, but I would give them my highest recommendation. And the frequencies here are just, they're amazing, obviously, because they're interdimensional frequencies. Crystals, we know, operate interdimensionally. And Master Kathumi once mentioned that if you took an average human being that on the scale that they used of, like, I don't know, 0 to 1,000, that an average person might be 200 or 300. Some sort of spiritually more advanced would be in the 400 or 500 range. And an average crystal would vibrate on that scale at around 3,500. And moldavite is a higher frequency than the crystals. Moldavite being the star, the gem of star seeds, and these Andara crystals are off the chart. They're just totally off the chart. So, to my way of thinking, if you're looking for all kinds of ways to increase your frequency. I mean, you could stick one of these iron gara crystals in, let's say, a Berkey light filter, and all your water is going to get charged with these crystals. That's a beauty. I mean, you can put words around your water. That works. You can put yantras. You can put crop circles. Water is a perfect reflector of consciousness. And you want to charge your water, there's a simple way to do it. Put an Andera crystal in your water. And they're amazing. They're just amazing. And not overly expensive. I mean, it's not like you're buying diamonds or something along that nature. They're semi-affordable, and I would highly suggest that you look into it. It's kind of like really fascinating reading, kind of like reading David Hudson's lectures 1, 2, and 3 on monatomics, because that's where the Andera crystals come from, monatomic fields. And these are very, very powerful tools that can be used to assist us with increasing our light quotient and our overall frequency itself. And I should also at this time like to give a plug for my website at etyoga.com. And you can find the techniques there for a pillar of light and yogic pranayam, different methods and techniques. I have a product there available. It's called Techniques, which includes, by the way, the Vichara, the Who Am I technique, a Merkaba technique, the Pillar of Light and spinning techniques, as well as yogic pranayams and breathing. They're all on one product there. Appreciate your support. I also have my latest book, ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. It's available there at the site for $9.95. And much appreciate feedback from listeners with respect to suggestions you may have for future content of the ET Yoga program. I'm especially interested in hearing about your successes by using techniques or concepts that you've heard on the program. And if you want to contact me, you can do that at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And as usual, I'd like to wish all my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And we'll close out the program tonight in our usual way, by playing a meditation that's designed to expand your consciousness. It's called the XYZ, and it was from Bashar. So if guys would play that now, it would be much appreciated.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably, or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. all the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity, and it returns, but a little faster now, and faster, and faster, and faster, until it too crashes through you, out the front, all the way to infinity, but it returns even faster now, out the back, and out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and out the back, and out the front, back and forth, 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 and out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, and let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity, and back out the right side all the way to infinity, and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side, and back out the right side, and side to side, and side to side, and front and back, 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down. Clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension. A new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent, until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.